All right, guys. There's going to be a stretch for you because the easiest thing to do will be to think this is a version of how you think. It's not. Okay? Diffuse means to pour in every direction. As a man, you are what we call single focused. Yes? You're single focused. You pay attention to one result at a time. Single focus. We have diffuse awareness. Most men will interpret that, oh, so you pay attention to three or four things at a time? No. Oh, you focus on two or three things at a time? No. It means we don't focus. We don't focus. It doesn't mean we can't focus, because we can for short periods of time. And it's like, you know how much energy it takes to get the shuttle free from the force of gravity? Right? You know, all the fuel's burned up, getting it free from the force of... That's what it takes for us to focus. You know, I'll sit down to write something, which requires focus, right? And I'll... Focus, Allison! As a woman, doing 8 to 10 things at the same time is easy. It's doing one thing that's almost impossible. It's really, 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 really hard for us to just do one thing. And a very common place for this to hurt other people, especially to hurt men, is when you're talking. And because you're single-focused, it's natural to assume I'm talking, therefore you listen. But it doesn't work that way. For one reason, because as men, you have a particular relationship to your needs that we call critical and urgent. So when you need to talk, you just start talking. It doesn't matter what we're doing. You just start talking, and you expect us to listen. And we've got this environment screaming for our attention, and you expect us to listen. And then we'll try to listen, but then something will happen. And like a child will come up and ask for something, or the water's boiling over on the stove, or we suddenly remember, oh shoot, I didn't get out the blank from the refrigerator. You know, something in our awareness will come up, and it seems to men that a woman is choosing to do that thing instead of listening to him. Like she chose it. Like, oh, the water boiling over is way more important than what Eli's got to say. And it seems that way, and then your feelings get hurt. And you get upset and you shut down. And then we don't know why you're shut down, but we can tell you're shut down, and then we get tense. And then the tension has us start doing all these behaviors to try to please you, which I'll explain in a little while. And it just evolves from there. It just gets worse and worse and worse and worse. What would really help, there's two things that really would really help. One is recognizing that we didn't choose to not listen to you. We really didn't. We didn't decide that something was more important than listening to you. So it's not personal. We just got pulled. The other thing that can really help is set us up. The way that it works for Greg and I, it's like a code word. He says, can I tell you something? Now, I know when he says, can I tell you something, this is important to him. It's his way of asking for my undivided attention, or the closest thing to my undivided attention that I can give him. Which the way that it works is listening, listening, listening. Oh, no, listen. Listen, listen, listen. He's talking. Listen. And often what I'll do is I'll take him to the quietest, translation, cleanest, neatest part of my house. I'll take him there to listen to him because there's the fewest things talking to me. Or if it's on the phone, I'll go to the quietest part of my house and I'll often close my eyes. Just so I, like, okay, honey, what do you want to tell me? Couple days after this course, when Greg did it the first time, we were talking about diffuse awareness, and he said, it's different during sex, right? and the look on his face was so hopeful. That it was... It was one of those moments in our relationship when I was really tempted to lie. Just to make him feel better, you know? But we don't do that in our relationship. And so I... No, honey. I'm sorry. It's not different. It's okay. The voices don't go away. No, they don't. But it helped me to see something about women that's really important, and that is while the other voices, while the other things don't go away, there is something that you can do with a woman that has you be by far and away the loudest thing happening in the environment. The loudest, like, whoa! You know, like... Leslie, can you come up here? I'm going to demonstrate what you can do. Hi.
Hi.
Touch her. Just touch her. Touch is the loudest thing in our environment. It grounds us. It has us come here. So if you've ever been to a really great masseuse who once they put their hands on you, they never let go. They never, like, if they're getting lotion, they got one hand on your back and they're getting, they never ever let go. That's how you want to be with a woman. Once you get a hold of her, don't let go. If you're making love to her, never not be touching her. That's how you keep her focused there, or the closest thing she has to it. That's how you keep her attention. Never not be touching her. And if you want to, see, one of the things that happens to a woman is we get tired, right? But we're not like a man. When you're tired, you fall asleep. Wherever you are. As a woman, we're tired, but our environment is still talking and saying how we used to, this needs to be done, and 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 this needs to be done. One of the biggest complaints in couples is you'll want to make love, and she never comes to bed. And then by the time she does come to bed, she's exhausted. I mean, one of the worst nightmares in a woman's life is crawling into bed and you're awake. Because there's only one reason you're still awake. And it's not that we don't want to make love with you. It's not that we wouldn't have loved to make love with you. You just should have invited me a couple of hours ago when I still had something left. Because all the multitasking took it out of me. So, I mean, one of the biggest things that could happen for couples' love lives is you got to invite her to bed. You got to become the loudest thing in the environment. And you'll think, oh, she's too busy, she's not interested. You're always a better offer. always a better offer. So you got to go to her, you got to... Honey, mm-hmm. I'd really like to make love to you now. Oh. Come with me. Would you like to brush your teeth?
Yes.
Okay. Don't let go. Anything else you'd like to do first?
No.
Could I run a shower for you or anything? Would that help you feel fresh and lovely?
No.
No, you're ready now?
Yes.
Okay. So, guys, I want to relieve you of something. I want to relieve you of something because as a hunter, when someone else is speaking, you have two ways of listening. You have two default listenings. If they're fine, you're listening, what's the point? That's what you're listening. What's the point? What's the point? What's the point? If they're upset, you're listening, what's the problem? Right? What's the problem? What's the problem? What's the problem? Both of these ways of listening will get in the way of your relationships with women. The first, what's the point, will get in the way of your relationships with women because
there is no point.
There's no point. There's really no point. You don't have to remember the berry markers. You don't have to remember the blue-red dress or the red dress or 10:15 or 10:20. You don't have to remember any of that. I recommend, however, that you notice if it's absent. If it's there, everything's fine. If she's not giving berry markers, you're in trouble. Because the way that it works is we tell the people on our team where the berries are. In case something happens to me, McCall can go get the berries. But if I don't trust McCall anymore, I won't tell her where the berries are. So if a woman says to another woman, "How was the party?" She's like, "Oh, it was great. I was wearing my blue dress, and Susie had her pink one on, and so-and-so were there. All's well." If a woman says to another woman, "How was the party?" "It was fine." Uh-oh. That means I don't trust you. I'm not going to tell you where my berries are. You'll steal them. I'm not going to give you any information. It was fine. What were you wearing? A dress. Well, hello, who else was there? Everybody. Lack of detail. Alarms should go off. If a woman's giving plenty of detail, all is well. Do you have to remember it? No. Now, this also causes problems because as a hunter, as the man, not only do you listen the point, you speak the point. "Honey, how was your meeting? How did it go?" "He bought it." "Yeah, good, and?" "Who was there?" "Everybody." And what did you say?" "What I planned on." "Well, but tell me more." And you're like, "He bought it." "What else is there to say?" And we're like, "You don't want to share your life with me. Trust me. You won't include me." And then she'll pick a fight and something terrible will happen. But that's what happens. Like, if you're not sharing your berry markers with me, you must not trust me. You're a hairy woman. You know, you gotta remember that. You're a hairy woman. If you're not you're not sharing your berry markers, you don't trust me. Oh, it's devastating. So, you know, again, bringing it back to what can you do? As a man, you don't have to remember the berry markers. Remember there's no point. And the message is she trusts you. Barry, markers are about time and place. Where is it and when do I need to be back? When and where, right? Barry, markings is all about the distinguishing details. Because guess what? You can't just bring any old berry back from the meadow. You could kill us. Some berries are poisonous. Some berries taste awful. You gotta bring home the right berries. You gotta bring home the berry. It's a little blueberry. But it's got five little knobs on it. And it grows on a bush that's never higher than this. And it's always next to a river. It's never going to be in the middle of the meadow, ever, ever. That's the poisonous one. You want the one that's next to the, always next to the water. And if it's taller than this, it's the wrong one. That one tastes awful. It's always on a short bush. And the leaves are glossy, not the fuzzy-leafed one. You guys, you're already good. This is life and death. You gotta bring home the right berries. I can't get to the market. I need you to get the tomato paste. You can't just get any old tomato paste. You gotta get the one with basil. But Contadina with basil, not Del Monte with basil, it's kind of sour. It'll wreck the whole meal. So it's the one with the green label with the red stripe. And it's always about a third of the way up from the bottom of the stack. And when you're, first you'll go down the aisle past the cranberry juices and the apple juices, and then you'll get to the canned goods. Now the first section is tomato sauce, not sauce, I need paste. So go past the sauce until you get to the paste. And it's not the black label with the green stripe. That's the wrong stuff. Now this thing happens, okay? Remember I said I'd tell you if we stop talking in the middle of sentence or idea, something terrible is going to happen? So we know there's a list about this long of berry markings that would adequately describe the right tomato paste. We know all the things we need to tell you about how to get the right tomato paste and find it in the meadow. We get about this far down the list. We say like two things and you say, I got it. Right? The tension in our bodies. Right, ladies? Right? I mean, it just goes berserk. We're just like, where it's such a conflict because we know saying anything more is really going to tick you off. And then my life will be in danger, which I'll explain later. But if we don't give you the rest of the details, you might bring home the poisonous tomato paste and then you'll kill the whole village and so my life is in danger that way too. So you know what we usually like to do? Call me when you get there. Just forget it, I'll get it myself. Or we'll try to, let me just tell you a couple more things about it. Just a couple more things. Try to sneak in a couple more markings. How many of you can relate?
Hi, Allison.
Hi.
I have situations that come up that refer to these berry markers. Yeah. I have a friend that came over to our house, and she had an issue in her relationship. And, you know, she started to go on and on. It was this berry marker kind of thing. And I knew that she needed to just do this, but it never stopped. And I started to realize, you know what, I'm getting frustrated.
Yeah.
And I was, okay, keep going. And so finally, I was like, all right, fine. We've done the berry marker, but let's go to some kind of solution-based system because otherwise, I mean, understand you need to release tension, but otherwise you keep running in circles because all you're doing is talk about the berry market, and you never get anywhere. Because the next day it's the same problem, and you keep talking just about the berry markers without ever getting to the place of, okay, let's deconstruct, let's see what can be done.
Can I have you pause a moment?
Yeah.
I have a word for what you're describing. Torture. Right?
It is hard.
Ladies, that is how you torture a problem solver. It's mean. It's totally mean. Remember earlier I said men have two default listenings? If we're fine, it's what's the point. If we're not fine, it's what's the problem. And this is another way where our communication gets out of sync, because as a woman, what happens to us as a woman, because we're gatherers, is our basket gets full. It gets very full. And we need to unload the basket. And how we unload the basket is just by going, I call it a meadow report. It's a meadow report, or it might be a cave report if we had to stay home all day. But we got to, like, report. And when the problem solver is listening, the problem solver wants to analyze the problem in order to be able to solve it. So you will ask clarifying questions. What happens when you ask that clarifying question, it would be the equivalent of someone's throwing up and someone catches it in a cup and pours it back down their throat. I think you're going to remember this. It really does that. It goes, and then we're like, So what to do about it? One thing for the ladies, could you hear how tortured he was? Stop doing that to them. Your girlfriends can take it for about 10 times as long, and then they'll tell you to shut up. You know, if you're not going to break up with him, at least stop complaining about him. Do you know? Well, they'll eventually say that. For you, when a woman is giving her meta report, what I try to tell men to do is just remember, hold the bucket. Okay, I'm just holding the bucket. This is how she's going to get peaceful. This is how she's going to actually have space to give a damn about me. She's making unoccupied space. This is good. Just hold the bucket. Hold the bucket. Hold the bucket. Don't ask any questions. What else about that? Oh, what else about that? I strongly recommend a time limit. Like,
you've got 10 minutes to give me the meadow report?
Well, I asked Greg, honey, how long can a man tolerate the meadow report? How long of a meadow report can you tolerate? And he said, 15 minutes if we're dating. Meaning I'm on my best behavior because you're the deer I'm trying to catch. So what happens when a woman's feelings are hurt? Something is said or something is done, and her reaction to it is that this receptor in the middle of her chest crashes. It crashes just like watching a computer system crash or watching an airplane crash. It crashes. And this, like, vibrant, bubbly receptor goes like this, just, and it gets tight and it gets hard and it gets small. And if a woman's feelings are hurt very badly, it gets like this little tiny obsidian rock in the center of her chest. It's just dark and it's tight and no light or life can get into it. It's just crushed. This receptor for life just turns to death, to darkness. And then the energy that it has become travels the same circuit. So the first thing that happens is she can't breathe. And she'll say, she'll have this feeling, just, like she can't breathe. Her chest just won't expand to the air in. She just can't breathe. And then it travels up to her throat. And depending upon what happened that hurt her feelings, it could take 10 seconds to get to her throat. It could take an hour to get to her throat as the scene plays over and over in her head and her feelings crash. But when it gets to her throat, she can't talk anymore. She just can't talk. All the energy from her throat is gone and words won't come out. She can't talk. And then it'll go up into her face. This death just travels up into her face and you'll see her face fall. And it'll get to her eyes, and when it gets to her eyes, she has to close them because it's too bright in here. It's too bright everywhere. I need to go someplace dark because it's too bright in here. And I can barely open my eyes, and the person who hurt my feelings, I can't look at them at all because looking at them at all feels like there's daggers coming in. And at the same time that it's going up this way, it's also moving out this way. And for some women, what it will do is, as their limbs close down, is they'll end up curled up somewhere. Maybe you might find them somewhere like this. Or some of us do the surfboard. Do you know, we'll crawl in our bed, and we'll get under the covers, and we'll be like this. And there's this heavy feeling. There's this feeling like dirt's being thrown on top of me. And I can't get up. I can't move. It's too heavy. And meanwhile, the death has gone past my eyes and now it's in my head. And all the happy thoughts are gone. I can't think at all. I'm kind of lost. And that'd be bad enough. Except for something's been happening. Something's been happening for days or weeks or maybe months. And the thing that's been happening is this person's done these little things. These little tiny things that kind of irritated me and kind of hurt my feelings a little bit, but not enough to mention because we should avoid conflict, you know. They might not be pleased and save me, So we just let it go and let it go and let it go, but we didn't know that the system had this program running called the Petty Offense File. And all the things that we thought we let go and thought we let go and thought we let go have been being stored in the Petty Offense File. And when the whole system has shut down, suddenly, there's another program that's been lurking in the background that gets to operate. In the absence of life, it comes to life. I call it the Rage Monster Program. And the Rage Monster Program has complete access to the Petty Offense File. So I might be curled up in a ball, or I might be buried under dirt, but either way, the rage monster opens in my head, and then it accesses the Petty Offense File, and it sounds like this. In my head, it sounds like this. And Let's try that again. Well, that could be said better. That's not quite as mean as we could be. Let's try like this. And what the rage monster does is it takes the petty offense file and it's organizing the petty offense file in the most hurtful way possible, in the most convincing and deadly argument against the validity of that human being's existence. And it just keeps rearranging them. No, we could do better than that. No, well, let's move this over here. And, oh, let's put this in. And then, oh, say it like that. And, oh, bring that one in. And there's so yes. And it just keeps working. And it's like in this loop. And this goes round and 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 round. But it's not me. It's not me. Me is this little tiny voice curled up under the covers in the dark going, help. Help. Please save me. Rosie, come save me. Please save me. But this is little teeny tiny voice. And the rage monster's going on and on and on and on and on. There's a pretty good chance that you don't even know it. That you don't even know that that's happening to her. She just kind of disappeared. Do you know, but she's somewhere praying that you will come save her. But she can't say, save me, because she doesn't have control of the voice box. And if you happen to come to her and see that she's all out of sorts and have a natural human reaction of being defensive, what does this mean? And then say the words, whatever's the opposite of the magic words, what's wrong now? What I do now? What's wrong with you? What happened to you? Any of those words, it's mostly the tone that gets it. And what happens with that tone and that question is that the rage monster gets connected to the voice box. And now, this perfectly formulated attack, and the longer she's been left alone, the more perfectly and deadly it has become formulated, now it comes spewing out. And all that... It just all now comes out of the mouth the way it sounded in the head. And naturally, your reaction would be defensive. Well, wait a second, I never did that, and that, I didn't mean that by that, and I didn't do that, and then all of a sudden, why are you making a big deal about that now? I thought that was over, and then we're like responding to all the different things that she's saying, and they're still coming out, and they're still coming out, and all your responses are just making her madder and madder, and it's feeding the rage monster. You don't get it, you gentlemen, and and meanwhile, there's this little voice in there going, this isn't it at all. It isn't it at all. I don't know why I'm saying these things. Help. Help. Ladies, can you relate? We never talk about this. Women never talk about it because we all think we're the only one. and we're crazy. We think we're crazy. We're terrified that we're crazy. And when it's come spewing out, you guys say, "You're crazy." And then we're devastated because we're afraid that we're crazy. But we can't control this. It just gets hooked up and it starts spewing out. And it's not it. It's not the issue at all. The issue is that my feelings were hurt, and I'm completely cut off from the source of life. And in the absence of life, this terrible monster takes over and says things that I don't mean and I don't care about. And there doesn't seem to be anything I can do about it. Would you like to know how to fix it? Yes. We're highly adaptable. That's how we survive. That's how a woman survives, is by being highly adaptable. We will be anything we think we need to be. But the back of the hand is weak sense of self. We lose ourselves like that. And women say this all the time: "God, I lost myself in that job. I lost myself in that relationship. I lost myself in my family." Ladies, raise your hand if you relate to this. You lose yourself. Keep your hands up. You want the guys to see this. You're like, look around. We lose ourselves all the time. We have such a weak sense of self. This is why we're so affected by criticism. When a man is criticized, you measure the criticism against yourself. We don't have that. We're overwhelmed by the criticism. Because we are externally motivated. There's two things that make us externally motivated. One is what I just talked about, that we think our life depends upon pleasing you. So we've got to become whatever will please you. The other thing that makes us externally motivated is diffuse awareness. You tell us who I need to be. My environment tells me what I need to do. I don't pick. Can you see it? Your criticism tells me who I need to be. And my environment tells me what I need to do. I don't choose. I don't decide. Criticism changes women. It changes women. And it, as a man, it's something to understand because you may not have meant to change her. She wears a blue dress and you say, "You look prettier in red." She'll never wear a blue dress again. Never. Not around you. Can't do it. She puts her own life in danger. Women know this. How you change another woman is you just criticize her. You go, "Maren, really? You got red hair. You're wearing pink?" Maren could never wear pink again. I'm just kidding, by the way. I believe women with red hair should wear pink. Honest to goodness, I do. But really, I mean, that's all someone has to do is just say that, and boom, she's changed. So guys, you can start to make this connection, right? If criticism changes a woman, who do we think criticism will change? A man! A man! That's why we criticize you. We're trying to change you. And we're shocked that you don't change. Really, we're just stunned that you don't change. But you don't. You don't change with criticism. All criticism does to you is causes distance. That's all it does. It's just, whoa, okay, not safe here. Doesn't like me. I'm not okay with her. I'm out of here. It just causes distance.
Now, you talk about mistakes that men make with women. What are some of those?
Well, I mentioned sex. Is it okay to go there?
If you're a man listening, I'm sure we'd all say yes.
Yes.
Big, big, big chorus.
Yes. Okay. Well, I just want to bring this up because it's one of the biggest tragedies that happens in relationships. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and it's one of the biggest things that men don't know about women. So what happens are two things. One is a man will wait for his wife to come to bed in order to make love. Because of her diffuse awareness and all the demands that she has on herself, she doesn't come to bed until she's exhausted. So his invitation is really bad news.
Too late.
It's too late.
Yeah.
It's too late. But as a man, you're going to be hesitant to interrupt a woman because you hate to be interrupted.
Oh, so I think she doesn't want to be interrupted like I don't want to be interrupted.
Exactly. Mm. Interrupt her. Give her a better offer than cleaning the kitchen. Take her by the hand. Honey, it's 9 o'clock. The children are in bed. I'd like to make love to you now. Really? So you got to get us earlier in the day. All right. Then the other thing I want to say is there's this dynamic that works terrible. Okay. And what it is women don't know that the more emotionally involved a man is with a woman, the more difficult it is for him to initiate sex because the more hurtful mm-hmm. it is to him to be turned down.
Yeah.
Right. So what you guys do is you watch for signs. Right. Right? Trying to see, you know. I mean, if she puts her Latin cliche on, woohoo! Right? That's a clear sign that she might as well put a green light right on her forehead. Right? So there's, you're looking for the signs that's okay. You know, I can make a move because she wants me. Well, the sad thing is what men don't know is that your desire for us is what makes us want sex. We just wander around with 87 things talking to us and all these things to get done and 47 movie channels to zone out in and escape our entire environment by just watching someone else's life. There's all these things pulling at us, and our hormones don't work the way that yours do, so we only honestly get horny about 30 hours a month unless you express desire for us, and then that activates everything. So by a man waiting for signs, he's actually not providing the thing that would have her want him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I remember buying a Netsuke, those little carved things that the Japanese make.
Yeah.
And it was a woman's face, and it literally moved. There was a little tiny rotation, and on one side was a frown, on the other side was a smile. And in Japan, the women, when they were ready, they would put the smile face, and
yes.
if they didn't want to make love, they put the down face.
Yes.
So something in the culture kind of said, like, well, we're supposed to wait for you.
Right.
But what I'm hearing is earlier and express our desire.
Yes.
And that desire may kindle your desire back.
It does. It's actually, mm-hmm. I mean, I've surveyed hundreds of women. It's one of the biggest turn-ons. You actually give us our sexuality mm-hmm. by your desire.
I remember seeing an African-American comedian saying, you white guys have it all wrong. He says, you know, in the ghetto, we just go, hey, tonight, we're doing it. And the woman goes, okay. You white guys are going, well, honey, do you think maybe tonight after dinner? It's like, but I think it's true. I feel very sensitive about asking and being rejected. It really hurts.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, okay.
Well, can I tell you a really, like, ultra cool thing a woman can do?
Sure.
This is what I call, like, how good are you willing to have it, right? So in a partnership, if a woman wants to be amazing, she'll understand that her man is going to get really weird and twisted when he goes without sex for too long. And every man, it's different. Too long could be 8 hours or 8 days. Okay? You got to find out what's the too long, right? But if she knows the right interval that he needs sex and initiates sex with him when she knows he needs it.
So one thing I know about, or I think I know, you'll probably correct me, but one thing I think I know about women is they want to attract men into their life. I mean, my wife, we've been married 12 years now or something like that, and she literally still wants to be attractive to other men, and not to, like, get them into her life in any major way, but some guy walked by the other day and went, he looked at me. That was really nice, you know. You talk about the qualities that men are really attracted to in women, and they're a little different than I think most people would think they are. You want to comment about that?
Yeah, I would. But can I make a comment about what you just said?
Sure,
first?
Please do.
Women need the wow. We need the wow. We get all dressed up for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we come out of the bedroom or we walk down the stairs, we make our grand entrance, And what we most need is for you to look up and go, wow. Now, usually you're focused on something else and you miss the wow moment.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, what happens to us is if we don't get the wow we need from the man,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is worth everything,
right.
then when we go out into the world, we look for the wow from other men. Because we need someone to notice us. And what it goes back to is that attention and interest are a woman's greatest opportunity to connect. If you're paying attention to me, if you're interested in me, then I can connect with you. And if I can connect with you, then I'm safe.
Got it.
It's this, my connection is the source of my safety.
That makes sense. That's why the parallel, let's talk while I'm watching NFL football, doesn't work.
Yes, but I want to connect. I got to connect.
Right. You need my eye contact and my full attention to do that.
Yeah.
I can think about the wow moment, too. I've seen my wife dress up in that wonderful outfit before. We're late by 10 minutes. Let's go.
Yes. Yes, you look great. Let's go. Right?
And you're saying for her to feel really connected, and to me, I need to stop and say, wow, you look beautiful.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
If you do that, it's just handled.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't need wow from anybody else. She got it from her man, the source of her safety. The guy who's going to protect her. She doesn't need anybody else to protect her.
All right, guys, listen up. This is important. So we have a couple open loops here. I think we started with three things women are doing wrong. We've covered two.
Right.
You want to just talk about the third one, and then we'll switch back on this?
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to have to pick a third one, a third top thing that women are doing wrong. All right, I would say this ties into single focus.
Mm-hmm.
I would say interrupting men. Interrupting men is one of the biggest things that women are doing wrong that comes back at them in so many ways because of what they want. So to explain, women want men to communicate. Talk to me. Tell me. Right? Tell me more. The problem is we don't wait long enough. We don't wait long enough. Can I give you an example?
Please.
So what normally happens is a woman asks a man a question, and he doesn't answer right away. So she figures he didn't understand the question. You've experienced this?
Oh, yes.
Yes. So she rephrases the question, and then he doesn't answer that question right away. So then she figures, well, maybe this essay business is just too difficult. Let's try multiple choice. And she gives him possible answers, right? And doesn't understand the look of frustration on his face and how he throws up his hands and walks away. And then she complains that he's uncommunicative. So not knowing that a man is single-focused, she has no idea what's going on over there, okay? Which is, she asks a question. He assumes, since she asked the question, she wants to know the answer. So he's thinking about it. Right? He's committing himself to the answer to that question. Right? Say, for example, she says, where do you want to go on vacation? Right? So he's really thinking about it. Where do I want to go on vacation? Right? But he doesn't just blurt something out like a woman would. So then she rephrases it. Well, you know, so where do you think we should go on vacation? Well, now he's got to let go of the first question and commit himself to a new question. Well, that's a completely different question. Where do I think we should go? Where do I think we should go? I mean, that means how much money we should spend, how much time we should spend. Where do I think we should go? I mean, this is a really important question. So now he's thinking about that question, right? And he's just getting going to thinking on that question when she says, well, so do you want to go to France or Italy? Right? He doesn't want to go to France or Italy, right? He's like, oh, I can't win here. Throws up his hands and walks away. And it's just because she doesn't know. He's single focus. He's going to commit himself. And she actually has to wait. She has to wait for the answer. We teach women to count to 30. They find it excruciating. But they start getting the answers to their questions.
That's great.
And then we teach them to listen to the answer. And then when he pauses, don't jump in. Count to 30 again. He'll look and see if he has anything more to say about that. He might. give him a chance, right? Let him speak again. Then if he pauses again, count to 30 again. How do you know when you're done? You guys are amazing. You say, that's all I have to say about that. Most women have never heard a man say that because they interrupted too many times. He's never got a chance to say everything he had to say about something. And that's really all I've been doing since 1991, is listening and waiting for the whole story. And that's how I've learned so much about men.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm. That's a great piece of advice, great piece of information.